Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
On November 4, 2025, we saw a self-avowed Muslim, globalist, socialist, embracer of LGBTQ+, win the New York mayoral race. This puts New York on par with London, England as a major financial city under control of socialist Muslims. It's unbelievable. In fact, New Yorkers can look at London and see what they may be able to expect. For many Christians and Jews in New York, this election was seen as bad news. The state of New York has been on a downward spiral for a bit, and the city doesn't feel as safe as it once did. Certainly, it's not as prosperous or as glamorous. The 2025 election went according to what the polls expected, and that's bad news for the Big Apple. Joining me to discuss the election held in New York and also around the country is the Pirate Money Radio official co-host, my friend, my colleague, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, great to be here today. I think you were being nice, though, when just calling him a socialist, because it looks like he's pushing over the edge of socialism, even some of those policies of government-controlled everything.
Well, he's in
running grocery stores, all that stuff.
He's in the socialist phase. As Vladimir Lenin once said, socialism is only a bridge to communism. That's the purpose of it. That's the same thing that Karl Marx said. And so I believe he probably feels that in his heart as well.
Yeah. Well, it was surprising to see, but not a complete surprise, because these were heavily blue districts, and it looks like we're seeing socialism take over the Democratic Party now.
It's sad. It's been a year since we saw Liberty win nationally on the ballot. Mm-hmm. This year, smaller stakes, yes. The elections went the wrong direction in many ways. Our litmus test, as you know, is liberty, security, and values, and all three of those took a beating in key local and state elections. Before we get to New York, though, let's do a quick tour around the country and start with Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia. Another disappointment. And Virginia, I just think of patriotism and blue blood. I mean, it's where we were founded. I mean,
like
all that stuff there.
Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson,
and all that. And we're seeing such a shift. I guess that's all the government employees that have been indoctrinated and it's just not what you think it is now.
So. Well, and there are two great universities there. Two of my favorite universities, Liberty University in Lynchburg and Regent University in Virginia Beach. And I get to D.C. and Virginia a lot, and I always travel through Reagan or Dulles Airport. You know, it's just a couple of months ago we were there celebrating at Mount Vernon with Dr. Ben Carson for his birthday party. I got to MC that.
Yeah.
That's President Washington's home. So, that Virginia, Old Town Alexandria, there's so much history there and so much liberty and freedom, and yet Virginia turned the wrong way.
Yeah, and we both met Winsome Searcy, great lady, great leader. Disappointing. I guess she didn't have the full Republican support, or we didn't get the turnout out there. But that was a setback. But what hurt even more, I think, was this Jay Jones win, who basically is coming out and saying, you know, yeah, we should have shot that person in the head and even the kids. I mean, that's not a win for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, no. What he did was, in private conversations and texts, he actually literally fantasized about killing a political opponent, a Republican lawmaker, and his family. And his kids should be shot too. I mean, this should be disqualifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said some stupid things, and I've written some stupid private texts, but I've never, ever said that so and so should be killed or their children shot. That's just evil.
If the Democrat Party and the Socialists are thinking that's great news, they've got a big problem.
And he's going to be Attorney General.
Yeah.
The person who's supposed to enforce the law. You know what he also said? He also said that if more cops got killed, they wouldn't shoot so many people. I mean, the solution
to
police
shootings.
That sounds
like a strong Attorney General. Yeah. That's what every state wants. There might be a flee from Virginia to Texas and Florida if this keeps up.
Oh, well, the notion that the Attorney General believes that the solution to cop killings, which is a bad thing, we don't want the cops killing people, no innocent victims at all. We hope that they don't even shoot criminals. We hope that they get arrested and locked up and so forth. We want due process for everybody. But he said the solution to that is, well, maybe a few more cops. Now, how would that work? It would work by the police officer saying, oh, I don't want to shoot somebody because they might shoot me. I don't want police officers thinking that. Yeah. I want police officers that are strong, that don't want to shoot anybody, but that are not nudging, well, I'm afraid for my own safety. That's not a good police officer.
Yeah, but I mean, just think of this logically. No matter what aisle you're on, what side of the aisle you're on, ask yourself your own gut question. If someone said, I'd like to see that person shot and his kids shot, could you in good conscience vote for that person?
No.
And unfortunately, a majority of the people did in Virginia.
How much must Virginians hate Republicans for them to elect this guy? It really is. And Winsom, you know, she didn't run a perfect campaign. I get that. But Marty and I were with her just a couple of months ago. She's a sincere lady. She's mm-hmm. an immigrant. She's a Marine. She's a, you know, served our nation, and she's been lieutenant governor. Hasn't done anything terrible as lieutenant governor. And the governor, I hate seeing this. They just reverted back, and I think in their case, it's all of the D.C. employees that live in Virginia mm-hmm. that dominate state politics.
Yeah,
I think that's the problem there.
Yep.
The District of Columbia was designed to be set up so that government employees would not control any other state, unfortunately, in this. And now they want to make D.C. its own state. This is not what we want to see happen.
That worked probably when you're traveling on horse and buggy, but with new transportation today, that whole Northeast corridor is being spread out. And, you know, I think part of it had to be this government shutdown. I mean, a lot of employees weren't getting paid, and it was probably just a rebel vote. I just want change. I want to get my paycheck. You know, so,
yeah.
But look at what actually happened, what they voted for.
Well, there is this blue rise up. I mean, we see it in California, same election. Governor Newsom pushed forth Proposition 50, which violated what the people had already voted for, which is a bipartisan commission to determine. They already control so much of the state using their ranked choice voting and the different things that they use. It really is a Democrat complete takeover by an absolute hypocrite. Governor Newsom, who thinks he's better, that he's got some of the Getty money and he's tied to the royalty of Nancy Pelosi mm-hmm. and so forth. And so he locks everybody down during COVID while he goes out to the French Laundry and enjoys a great meal that violates all his own COVID policies. This guy's a hypocrite.
Yeah. Well, we saw him in, was it in Brazil or something, just the other day, where he's talking about, you know, the need to control fires and all that kind of stuff. Like he was going to be pro all that stuff. It's all due to climate change, but it's really due to not having water in the system and letting a Biden donor set the city on fire and not being prepared for it.
Yeah, no, Newsom did a terrible job. He said, you know, and but Californians recognize it. I think if you go to pods, I'm looking here at pods saying, why are so many Californians moving to Texas? They know, because pods is in the moving business. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing a rental car company seek one-way rentals going from California.
We experience it. I mean, we see it happening all through the marketplace. I used to be in the housing and development business, and years ago we saw it starting, but it's at a whole new level right now. And some of these are people looking for freedom and liberty, and some of them are coming here. They're still the disciples, and those are the tech ones moving to Austin, and they tend to say, well, we're going to take this with us. So we've got to be on alert, even in Texas.
Yeah, well, they're not leaving California because the weather in Texas is better.
Right.
They're leaving, fleeing the bad results of policies. Some of them are looking for liberty, but some of them are just saying, no, I want socialism, but by the way, the economy's not that good here, and the jobs, two things are too expensive, and so they're leaving from the results. I wish they'd wake up and realize, hey, the very same policies that brought, with the natural resource abundant California, brought these problems will bring even greater problems if we go other places.
What happens when they're saying gas in California is going to be $8.50 a gallon? What happens then? Then you're going to see more and more people saying, I got to get out of this. We were with an Uber driver about a year ago, and he's like, what's up with these prices? What's the cost in Texas? We told him. He's like, I don't get why there's such a big difference. And your vote matters.
Your vote matters. Absolutely. And what we're seeing is money fleeing those communities. Texas, according to the latest studies, by the year 2045, we're talking 20 years from today, Texas will be the largest state in the United States of America, surpassing California. We've already seen Florida lose its position. I mean, New York lose its position to Florida. Now we're going to see California lose its position to Texas. All right, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the election that just took place and how it's really shifting politics around the nation. What do we have to look forward to? We'll be right back after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm talking with Mike Carter, and we're talking about the election of 2025. It just happened. It looked like socialism won. It certainly won in New York. It looked like California has gone even more Democrat socialist, and the liberty, security, and values are departing in those states. But in Texas, we had an election. We had constitutional amendments on the ballot, and every single one of them passed, and the vast majority of them are freedom-loving, are reducing capital gains taxes, giving homestead exemptions, reducing taxes in some way, eliminating death tax, and holding the legislature to the values of the Constitution.
Yeah. And it's good to see most of these are by far majority votes. But most are all standing for freedom. At least Texas is still on track. We see another movement, though, to Florida, right? We're seeing, people move from New York to Florida. How does that impact Florida? What is that looking like?
Yeah, well, before we get there, one thing I wanted to point out on Texas is the Proposition 16 that requires U.S. citizenship if you're going to vote. Now, that passed overwhelmingly.
72%. So we got a few maybe Californians that are that moved here that are against it. I was just with my neighbor whose son lives in California, and he said, this is like organized crime. He had moved to California. He could not, he did not have his registration set up. So he just went there and said, hey, I just moved here. Can I go ahead and vote? They didn't ask for an ID. They didn't ask for anything. You live here. Here's your ballot. While he's there, he saw somebody double vote. He's like, the lady came in, voted, he's finishing up his ballot, she walks out, and then she comes back in and says, oh, excuse me, I didn't realize there's a backside to the ballot. Oh, well, here's another ballot, just fill out the backside, just don't fill out the front side, kind of wink, wink. Literally, he saw it all take place. He's lived in California for like 8 months now.
Wow, unbelievable. But if he'd walked in and said, here's a ballot, don't worry about it, he said, good, because I want to vote for Trump. Wait, give me that back.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you were talking about Florida and New York. Here is an article that was published May of this year. $14 billion in income vanishes from New York City as 125,000 residents flee for Florida.
$14 billion. I mean, even for a state like New York, $14 billion hurts a little bit economically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's why we're seeing Miami prosper and succeed, and New York is failing. And with Mamdani, they're creating their own economic problem that is causing people to turn to socialism because the media won't tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. It's New York's bad policies that drove out successful people that has caused New York to hurt, which has caused them to turn to socialism. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, and let's hope that this great experiment fails. I see Mamdani is going to reach out to Trump now, but I don't see how it is going to work. It's failed everywhere else, so they're fooling themselves. But the question becomes, we're in a race between, with the bureaucratic structure that exists, but the education system, the naked communist, what they've been doing for 40 to 50 years is playing out.
Yeah, no, he calls himself a socialist, but it is absolutely communist, as you pointed out earlier. In fact, here's Vladimir Lenin once said about socialism. In Marxist theory, socialism is considered the lower transitional phase of communism, leading to the higher phase of communism after it has been fully developed. This transition occurs after a socialist revolution when society moves from private ownership to social ownership of the means of production and then develops further into stateless, classless society with common ownership and distribution based on need. It is the lower form of communism.
Yeah. And slippery slope.
Mamdani knows this. He says we're going to have government-run grocery stores.
Yep.
That's
ownership.
A communist thing.
Yep.
That's what you have in Russia. He said we're going to have rent controls. That means you don't really own the property you're renting because we get to set how much you can get paid for it and what you get paid for. All of these are communist policies.
That's kind of
policies.
Familiar with that World Economic Forum. You will own nothing and like it.
Oh, yeah, and be happy is the term that they use. Yeah. Transportation, subsidized New York City buses to make them free for riders so that we can eliminate private ownership of automobiles, another World Economic Forum. Make childcare free for New Yorkers.
That would give me great comfort.
Yeah.
Please take care of my kids for me.
Oh, exactly. I think it was the late, great Voting Bauckham who said, Why is it that we send our kids to Caesar and are surprised when they come home as Romans?
Yes, yes. Yeah, scary. That's definitely going to be another indoctrination program there, which will get them from socialism into communism. And then let's look at that grocery store, the pilot program. You know, grocery stores, I used to be in the consumer products business. They work on razor-thin margins, 1% to 2%. And you've got to be extremely efficient for it to work. Government doesn't have a reputation for being able to manage that kind of margin.
No, and that's why grocery stores run by governments are always empty.
Yeah.
Because they have no product. They'll set the pricing, and people will realize that this is the last food they're going to get. They'll run out. You know, it is inevitable.
And you've got that great Russian story in Houston and what turned communism, what brought down Russia last time when they went to the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah. It was Boris Yeltsin when he visited an American grocery store and realized that free market capitalism produced more and better food choices, more availability of food, and that the Russian economy couldn't keep up. They didn't have those choices, and he realized that people need this. And so he turned from communist to free market capitalist overnight, according to his memoirs. The other thing Mamdani wants to do is increase taxes on the wealthiest New Yorkers. We've got a post on Instagram that we dropped where Mamdani says he wants to eliminate billionaires. How do you eliminate billionaires? You kill them. Well, that would be a bad thing, and I'm not suggesting he said that. He meant tax them to where they couldn't be built. We shouldn't have billionaires, he said. Look, when we were growing up, young people said, I want the opportunity to make a lot of money and be very successful and then be generous with it. Mm-hmm. That is a biblical constitutional approach. Mamdani is saying, no, nobody should ever be able to achieve wealth.
I mean, clearly there's crony capitalism, there's things in place that we need to get better at to close that wealth gap. But to say there shouldn't be billionaires, successful people that are coming up with new innovations and improving productivity, and literally by doing that, closing the wealth gap, that's not what they want. And that's why you're seeing that $14 billion get sucked out of New York into Florida, because those high net worth folks are moving, you know?
Yeah, there's tons of money that's going to be flowing. But remember, if you give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. If you teach a man a fish, you fed him for a lifetime. A communist will say, if you tell a man he's not allowed to fish, and the government runs all of the fishing business, everybody starves. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. You know, that's taking it to the next logical step, because people won't do it. Here's the speech, his opening speech, the very first thing socialist Mamdani quotes is communist Eugene Debs. The most famous communist in American history, if you go back and look at the history of the Communist Party in the United States, you'll find Eugene Debs, and he quotes him directly in a speech. He opens with, "Thank you, my friends. The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity." He's signaling right there, I'm a communist.
A better day for humanity or a better day for Mamdani?
Well,
I think it's going to be a better day for Mamdani and the few elites that are controlling the production.
No, I mean, that's the whole Animal Farm thing. Yep. You know, he's a pig.
Yeah.
He's a pig, according to Animal Farm. Yep. All right, so here's his scariest quote from his 22-minute speech, maybe one of the scariest quotes I've ever seen. Ronald Reagan he said the scariest words is, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. Here's Mamdani's version of that. We will prove that there is no problem too large for governments to solve and no concern too small for it to care about. What does that mean?
I heard that, and that one just jumped out. I was kind of bored, like, what a bunch of trash this guy's speaking during his acceptance speech. And then that came out, I'm like, whoa, talk about contrasts of beliefs. That is it right there. Government can fix everything.
He said, actually, government should fix everything. Not just can, but ought to be involved. There's no problem too large for government to solve. The government, you know, so the sin of mankind, government can solve it. What does that make government? It makes it God.
Yeah.
And no concern too small for it to care about. That means there is no part of your life that government will not intrude upon. They care about everything that you do, what you eat for breakfast, how often do you go to the bathroom, what your job is like, how you raise your kids, what you're reading, what you're thinking. Everything is the government's business. That's what
you just said.
We started
on that slope with an Obamacare. You know, they want to know everything about every individual, what health things. I mean, all that's about no privacy anymore. We're going to be able to look and decide who gets what and how it's distributed and when and maybe even who lives. That's what we see in communism at some point.
Yeah, maybe even who lives. All right, remember what Bob McEwen said. Government spending is always third-party payment. The government is neither, it's your money that they're using to pay for things, and they're buying them for someone other than themselves. And so they don't care about the price or the quality, which means government becomes inefficient, and it ends up the money being spent serves the government rather than the individual. It buys votes, essentially. Yeah. And that's what he said. So the problem that they're seeing in New York has nothing to do with that. You know what the problem is? The problem is unjust weights and measures. The problem is inflation, where people can't afford things. It's not, you don't put rent controls on prices because the prices are going down. You put rent controls because the prices are going up. And really what's happening is the money is losing purchasing power. So people are turning to socialism because they're really upset about unjust weights and measures. The solution, we talk about it here on Pirate Money Radio, is just weights and measures, gold and silver. And support for this program comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access their gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, Glint gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with other modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. And Mike, what would have happened if all those New Yorkers had all their money held in gold, which has gone up substantially in value, and they looked at their rent and they said, oh, I can pay that.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of that glintpay.com gold 247. Anytime you can now spend gold if you need to do it. And I heard stats the other day that the average first-time home buyer is 40 years old now. Can you believe that? I mean, I remember when I bought my first home, you as well. I mean, 40 years old, I was on house number three, I think, by then. So.
Yeah, and that's because people can't afford it because inflation has hit them. But if priced in gold, house prices are actually lower, not higher than when we started. They're more affordable in gold terms. And so that's why pirate money is all about making gold and silver biblically, constitutionally, money again. So I wrote the book Pirate Money to help explain that. We're going to have to take another break. We're talking about the evils of socialism. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Mamdani not just being a socialist, but also an openly Shia Muslim. It's kind of frightening. We'll be right back after this break.
Pirate Money Radio. Helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
A year ago after the election, we were celebrating because liberty, security, and values were on the ballot, and they won across the United States. This year, in a smaller election, but one that's important nonetheless, in New York City, California, Virginia, and other places, liberty, security, and values took a beating. Now, these are traditionally blue states, so we might expect that. But what happened in New York was shocking. Not only was a socialist slash communist, Zora Mamdani, elected, and I hold in my my caffeine-awakened fingers.
I was wondering how you're going to handle that. There you are.
Caffeine-awakened fingers. A guest column from the late, great friend of this program, Charlie Kirk, who wrote, America must choose MAGA or Mamdaniism, and in New York, they chose Mamdaniism.
Wow.
Which is frightening to me. And he wasn't just a socialist. He was also a Shia Muslim and literally a 12er.
okay, I'm not sure what the Twelver is, but the Shia Muslim I'm concerned about. And we believe in religious freedom, religious liberty,
yes,
but not an ideology that is completely different than Western civilization. And,
no.
And I'm afraid that's probably what Twelver means.
We don't support, if you have a political ideology or a religious belief and a political ideology that says that you're going to interfere with my ability to serve and honor and worship God, then I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And there are some aspects of Islam that do exactly that. Shia is Iranian mm-hmm. Islam, but a Twelver is, and I just asked Grok, is Mamdani a Twelver? Yes, he's a Twelver because the family belongs to the Twelver community, a branch of Shia Islam that recognizes 12 imams. The family's traditions rooted has historically spanned Hindu and Muslim influences are specifically associated with the Twelver belief system, which means the last imam went into hiding. He's in a cave. He's been there for centuries, and he's going to come out at an apocalyptic moment, and Twelvers say, well, let's create those apocalyptic conditions that will cause him to come out. So if you're Iran in the government, you say, we must first defeat the great Satan mm-hmm. and the little Satan, the great Satan being America and the little Satan being Israel. So if we destroy, and this is why they want to develop a nuclear program, at least why some of them do,
yep.
So we can destroy the great Satan and the little Satan and evoke to cause that 12th imam to arise and bring in peace around the world.
So if I were Mamdani, and I'm just making assumptions here, I'm no proof of any of this, but that ideology would say, well, you know, whatever I can do to take down Western civilization or America as my leadership role in New York, that might create this 12th imam.
It could, yes, and it could be to support. And New York is very important. I went and worked with the district attorney of New York, who I was taken in by a CIA director, and they were literally New York banks were laundering money for the Iranian regime in order to build nuclear weapons. And I helped. I didn't testify, but I briefed the district attorney of New York. He was a famous guy. He was an older guy, and you know he got it. He's Jewish, and he understood what was going on. Well, here's Middle East Forum writing in December of 2023. So, Mahdism, the apocalyptic ideology behind Iran's nuclear program, and it talks about how they want to bring out the 12th imam by detonating nuclear weapons and how that would be good for the world. And now we've got somebody who is of that faith belief as the mayor of New York City. Contrast that with Rudy Giuliani, who is protecting New York from the 9/11 attack. Now we've got somebody that doesn't hold the belief of protecting America, that perhaps holds the belief that he wants to see America fall as the great Satan.
Wow. Wow. That's so anti-Israel, globalized
the Enfatada.
Enfatada.
Yeah. No, and he says he's supporting the people of Gaza, but what he's literally chanting are slogans and supporting people who have called for the ending of Israel as a nation and maybe even the ending of America as a nation. That's the kind of guy. But he's not just that. But wait.
Well, there's even
more. There's more, yeah. And in fact, you know, we talk about this. The scan thing, Charlie Kirk wanted us to start, Red, Green, Blue Axis, scan Saving Civilization Action Network. The Red Axis is communism. He's definitely that, or at least communism light and socialism. Even if you give him the benefit of the doubt, he's pink at best, but I think he's solid red. He's green, the green axis, which is a Sharia supremacist believing that wants to establish a caliphate and so forth. Well, as a 12er, he would fit in that category. But the third one was blue. The blue was extreme globalist, supported by like the World Economic Forum or George Soros or things like that. Well, guess what? George Soros' $37 million link to Zoran Mamdani. $37 million poured by George Soros, according to Daily Mail, into the Mamdani campaign. And, you know, Washington Post also says Mamdani win draws celebration on the global left, condemnation in Israel.
Wow.
So bottom line is there's no question this guy is, is a pro-globalist, and included in that is this whole LGBTQ plus ideology. And according to Gay Star News, put an X post up there. No, I do not read Gay Star News, but I saw the tweet that they put up. It says, Zora Mamdani has run one of the most pro-LGBTQ plus campaigns in living memory. In May, Mamdani joined a trans community town hall alongside activists where he met with local organizers to discuss his plans for supporting LGBTQ plus in New York. Bottom line.
I wonder what that 12th Imam thinks of that. You think that's his philosophy?
I don't know. You know, and maybe they don't like communism either. You know, at the end, these three will fight it out. As Frank Gaffney says, he calls them the tyrannical trifecta. But after they take America and Israel down, which is saving civilization, is to defend America and Israel. As Charlie told me that the four pillars of Western civilization would be America, Israel, and Christianity and Judaism. Those are the four Judeo-Christian. Those are the four pillars of civilization. They want to take all four down. After those pillars are knocked down, I wonder if he's going to side with his Islamic roots or his pro-LGBTQ plus stance. Well, if you ask those in Gaza, for example, they're gays for Gaza, gays for Palestine, all those movements, you ask them in Gaza, if they come here, we will throw them off the closest roof. The highest roof.
A little inconsistency. We're seeing that. You know, we go all the way back to our governor in Florida. You know, what's good for me is not necessarily good for everybody else. That same thing here. But we're seeing enemies kind of teaming up together to take down Western civilization. Right now, it appears like people are going for that.
In New York, unfortunately, there are. I mean, this is a guy, Mamdani, who put out a X post at the time. It was a tweet in 2020, and it said, queer liberation means defund the police. And he was promoting queer liberation. He reposted something where, you know, it was pro-queer liberation, and he was then, now as mayor of New York, talking about defunding the police.
He's going to be trying to recruit that AG in Virginia, I think, next, with that kind of thinking.
When you look at these people and who they are and what they privately believe, they are calling for violence, at least in the case of the Attorney General. They're promoting a complete political takeover so that they purposely can remove Republicans from any potential, even in local Republican areas of California. No, we have to district them out so that we gerrymander, so that we remove Republicans from any elected office. They're talking about great it's all according to plan.
It is according to plan. I think it's according to the biblical plan, where it says what's right is what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong. And that's, I've never seen that so clearly as what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, no, and they say we're pro-peace, and that's why we should kill people, which is communism. They literally, you know, so I wrote the book According to Plan. They're executing it in New York, in California, and sadly in Virginia. And the other states like Florida and Texas are prospering as a result. But this is leading to, some people believe, a civil war. So how did, with all these contradictions, how did Mamdani win? I put a list of eight things that allowed him to win. The first one, ranked choice voting in the primary. You know, he did not win a majority of Democrats, but he won a plurality. So the Democrat candidate split the opposition vote, and he barely won. And once he got the nomination of the Democrat Party through ranked choice voting, now they want to put ranked choice voting in your state, and they, oh, it's more fair. It is a means of control. It's a means to take power with a minority, and do not fall for that. Number two, he had lots of Soros money. We already covered that. How 30-some million dollars of Soros money. Number three, the imams of New York got out the vote. That is Fox News, Mamdani's God Squad, clerics, activists, and political operatives who have his back. The Muslim community came out in droves to make certain that he got the... Now, this is frightening. It's one of our six trials by fire, is you could move a bunch of people into an area, get them to vote as a block, and literally it's happened in Michigan, and now it's happened in New York.
Yeah. And why we need to stay actively engaged, actively involved. We can't just sit back and say, okay, current administration is going to take care of all this. We've got to be active voting and passionate all the time.
Yep, and ballots, not bullets, the producer's telling me in my ear. That's their new phrase, is that we're going to win. That's a Muslim phrase. We're going to win through civilization jihad, ballots, not bullets. Mm. All right, here's another thing. The youth vote. Absolutely, he was out there preaching to the youth economic justice, which is injustice is caused by unjust weights and measures.
Yep.
And his solution is to make it worse, not better. But young people, I hate to admit, they turned out for him. Foreign-born voters, that's the fifth block. Those born in the United States did not vote for Mamdani. They voted overwhelmingly for Cuomo. Then he had a big public housing turnout. People that were receiving assistance from the government tended to vote for him, hoping to get more assistance. He had a greater turnout in lower-income neighborhoods. And the last one, the most surprising one, but not if you understand indoctrination, highly educated white people voted for Mamdani.
Wow, that's the Harvard and Yale's and the elite stuff
all
like
of
that,
the,
huh?
All of the college.
Not so smart.
Not so smart. No, they're voting for their own demise. They don't even know it. This is what communism actually appeals to a lot. In a lot of cases, it appeals to people from guilt that they've been successful. All right, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the New York election and the impact it's going to have on your lives and what you can do about it. We'll be right back after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm with Mike Carter. Mike, I'm looking at right here the final election results. NBC News is several days after the election. I mean, it might change slightly, but a little over 2 million people total voted. About half of them voted for Mamdani, and the other half was split between the Republican, Curtis Sliwa, and the former governor, Andrew Cuomo, who had his own scandals and problems and so forth, so he's not a perfect candidate.
So this is about a 50-50 split. What does that mean for the rest of the country? Is this a trend?
Well, it's, you know, 1 million people voted for him, which is a large number, but I remember that in Prop 7, on the Texas ballot a year ago or so, that 1.6 million Texans voted for constitutional gold
exactly.
And silver. And you know, it was a much higher percentage than Mamdani got in New York in Texas. So I think Texans love their freedom more than New Yorkers do, but more than New Yorkers want their socialism. So I think this is not a hugely indicative election, but it is about the money. I think that's what it comes down to, the money that Soros mm-hmm. put in, plus the young people worried about, do I have a future? And New York has been bleeding money to Florida, and so they're panicking, and he's 34 years old,
right.
Ran a slicker campaign. You know, sometimes it is all about the money, and there are three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, their sister show, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. You know, if 1 million people in New York voted against Mamdani, we can take a little bit of a hope in that. When you add the two up, it's over 1 million, and 1 million people voted for him. I don't think it's an absolute slam dunk that he won.
No, but we're starting to see this setup of kind of the civil war thing out there, and making sure that we stay active. And I appreciate people like Patriot Mobile. When you got Soros out there saying $37 million to kind of sway the election his way. These are the types of things we can do, a little bit here, a little bit there, to make sure that our 50% of the country gets heard.
Yeah,
and that's important.
And it's actually more than our 50. It's 50% of New York.
Yeah.
Right?
Thanks for catching that, yes.
More than 50% of the country. Here I saw this in The Economist magazine as a graphic. Zora Mamdani lost in parts of New York City that look most like America. So New York is, they have an enclave of, you can go to Chinatown or you can go to the different districts in New York, and you see enclave of immigrants. Used to be that the immigrants would assimilate. Now there's a group of immigrants that don't want to assimilate. They want to take over. And so they've come here sometimes legally, sometimes illegally. And immigration without assimilation is invasion.
Which has been our policy under the Biden administration.
Immigration without assimilation, without becoming America. But Mamdani lost in the parts of New York City that look most like America.
That's refreshing. Do we know by how much in that?
It's
probably a 60-70%. I mean, it's not as big as it appears to be. And the Democrat Party, with these wins in Virginia and New York, have clearly made it sound like this is the takeover. This is where America's at. That's not necessarily true.
No, and in fact, unfortunately, good Americans will leave New York now, or as they've been leaving California. And so what's left is the more radicalized element. And because those were once great states of great growth and economic power, they're declining. Mm-hmm. And here's some serious implications for New York. Number one, they could lose their financial capital status. You ask anybody, where's the financial capital of the world? And they would say, New York and London. Well, London's losing it because of their socialist Muslim mayor. And now New York may be losing it. And in fact, this is published. Texas surpassed New York in terms of size of financial sector workforce in the two states. Did you know that?
No.
We right now have more people in the financial sector in Texas than New York has.
I'm seeing the big buildings with the big financial institution names on it. And we're seeing people having a little bit of fun with this Y'all Street.
Y'all Street.
It's moving to Texas. And so we see the migration down here. We're seeing the financial institutions come down here. That's got to impact New York in a significantly negative way.
And the Texas Stock Exchange. Now, I'm a little bit concerned the BlackRock's involvement in the Texas Stock Exchange, but in theory, I love the idea of Texas having a stock exchange where we still believe in free market capitalism. Mm-hmm. Socialist communist areas, they don't have very successful stock exchanges.
Yeah. So we're going to have a stock exchange here, and then we've got the Texas Bullion Depository,
right.
and we've got Transactional Gold Pass. They're working on implementation now. But a lot of things economically, and hopefully economic liberty, could be very positive in Texas.
Oh, yeah. So that's the first one, is the financial capital. The second implication is going to be people of Jewish descent and faith will be leaving New York. In fact, the top New York City rabbi issues dire warning on Mamdani, does not believe in coexistence. From Texas to Tel Aviv, invitations go out to Jews fleeing Mamdani's New York. That's in the Jerusalem Post. That's one thing you would think about New York, is that would be a place where, coming from World War II, a lot of fleeing Nazi Germany went to New York and thought that was a safe place. Now they're having to flee New York.
Yeah. Well, it's no surprise when you look at that, his religious philosophy, I guess I'm going to call it.
He's literally said, The slogans. All right, here's the third one. Continued population declines only accelerating. Stark population decline projected for New York State. This is Cornell. Cornell University in their Cornell Chronicles a year ago said New York State's population could shrink by more than 2 million people over the next 25 years, a decline of more than 13%, according to a Cornell report.
Wow.
So this isn't a hopeful Texas saying they're losing population. This is Cornell.
All right. Well, maybe I'm wrong on one thing. Maybe Mamdani is right. He can lower the cost of rents. You get enough people to move out of the state, eventually rents drop.
Yeah, they're not.
You don't got money
reason.
To pay for it though.
Yeah, and that not and you put rent controls and they're not kept up, and you lose people who aren't. The city takes over everything.
Yep.
All right, here's another one. Crime, if they defund the police. New York Police Department already losing officers with morale plunge as anti-cop Zoram Mamdani prepares to take reins. That is in the UK Standard from November 8th.
I heard Governor DeSantis said, hey, come on down. If you're not appreciated up there, why don't you come to Florida?
Oh, exactly. So they're going to lose police. What they'll have is knife crime. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to probably put strict gun controls in. So the criminals will still have guns. But in London, UK Standard also reported, I guess that first one I quoted was not Standard, it was New York Post, about losing officers. In the UK Standard, they talk about the knife crime soars by 86% in London in a decade. So we're going to ban guns because guns kill people. And then what happens is they start pulling out kitchen knives.
Yeah.
And now they're talking, literally, I'm not kidding, they're talking about getting a license to have a kitchen knife and only certain chefs can have them.
That's going to work. Well, I saw there was a stabbing in Chicago the other day on the train platform. We had the other tragic stabbing out at East. What's up with that?
Maybe.
I guess they're trying to take our steak knives
away. Islamification, yeah. Which is the next trend. New York's Muslims exult in Mamdani's victory. Now this is our time. And in fact, I've seen imams saying, here's a far-left Islamic activist mentor to Mamdani, vows to hold him accountable if he wins the New York City mayoral race. What does that mean when an imam says, I'm going to hold you accountable? Accountable to what? We saw it in Houston, Sharia law.
Yeah.
They want to institute Sharia law. We see it in Dearborn, Michigan. We see it in around the country. They want to hold his feet to the fire to implement. In Houston, we saw an imam go around and walk in a convenience store and said, wait, you're selling ham. You're selling lottery tickets. You're selling alcohol. No, I'll be back in 6 months and hold you accountable. Yeah. That's what they mean.
And Sharia law is not our law. That's their own law. That's not Western civilization law.
No, of course not. It is, puts women in a subjugated place. It's really not a helpful thing. They're going to hold him accountable. So what will that mean? I predict it's going to mean loss of tourism. New York City's tourist numbers have been falling sharply. That was October 27th, 2025 from Tourism Magazine. New York City's tourist numbers falling sharply. What is it going to do with now Sharia law potentially being brought up? And I think it could mean an economic collapse. Here it is, New York Post. Soaring taxes, crime costs New York and New Jersey $670 billion and rising. And you see the income losers, California, New York, at the top of the list. And the gainers at the top of the list, Texas and Florida. People fleeing. That's why I saw the political cartoon of the Statue of Liberty on a moving van being taken south from New York to Florida.
That's perfect. But look at those numbers. This is New York Post, $517 billion. And that's way bigger than the $14 billion we said, oh, that's moving to Florida. The total economic losses are not sustainable for any state on a long-term basis.
No, not at all. And so, we're seeing, I've got a poster up here, 1981 movie starring Kurt Russell, which was Escape from New York, made by John Carpenter. And, it was a hellish New York scene. The Statue of Liberty was fallen and crime dominated the city. I hope that's not the case. I hope the New Yorkers turn from that. If they will follow Second Chronicles 7:14, we can see New York rise again. That happened before. New York was going down the tubes, and Rudy Giuliani stepped in and transformed the city. So what do? We need to pray for the city, whether or not you live there. Seek the prosperity of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord in its behalf, for in its prosperity will be your prosperity. That is straight from the Bible. We need to pray for Mamdani to hear the gospel, pray for his supporters. We need to learn from what happened, and we need to lead by example with liberty-loving Texas, Florida, and other states. Set the example of success. Maybe people will wake up and say, I want to be on that team, not this team.
Yeah.
Lead by example. All right, if you have questions or prayer needs or comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Mark Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Let's give the arg.